If Abraham's entire legacy was built on simply believing God's word, what's holding you back from taking him, God, at his word in your own life and calling? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, check us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Sometimes I'm asked, what's the difference? FPIW is our educational arm where we are giving you a biblical worldview of the public square. There's always brand new resources in there. You can check it out. You can go up to Public Square Ministries and then see all different categories. The FPIW Action is our arm that we influence Olympia, the counties, all around us. And so that's kind of our action arm to take action in what you're doing. So one is educational, one is action. So we are in a series called Abraham. It's a brand new series. So if you're just jumping in and just becoming our friends on these daily devotions, we are in Romans chapter 4. You can go back and listen to the other chapters if you'd like. It's a number of days. I don't know, 50, 60, 70 days. I'm not sure. But yeah, anyways, we're jumping into this. If you enjoy these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender app into your huddle. So our new series is Abraham, and it's according to the flesh. So what I'm going to do is, a lot of us are very ignorant of or not knowledgeable about Abraham and his life. And so I'm going to go back through and give you an account of Abraham's life. And it starts in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Excuse me, Genesis chapter 11, verses 26. And Abraham's life goes through Genesis chapter 25. And so let's look at the major events. So he's born in Genesis 11, 26 through 32. And God calls Abraham to leave Haran, promised land, descendants, and blessings on Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Let's read that. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So that's Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So this is the initial blessing of God on Abraham's life. It's that initial covenant that he'll make him into a great nation. You're going to see this repeated three more times. So it's not like he just says it once. So he goes on. Abraham's journey to Canaan, and God appears to Shem and assures land to his offspring. And so this is in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Abraham's journey through Egypt during the famine, deception about Sarai, we see who later will become Sarah in Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20. Again, you're going to have to go back and study all these. Separation from Lot, him and they're separating because their herds got too big and there was some conflict. God reaffirms the promise of land and numerous descendants after Lot departs in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. So this is number two. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. How long? There's going to be a great nation. That's what we saw in chapter 12. Now we see that this is the land forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. So he says in Genesis chapter 12 that he's making him a great nation. Genesis chapter 13, he says he's giving him a land from the north, the south, east, and west, and that he's going to have a multitude of descendants. So now in Genesis 14, Abraham rescues Lot from invading kings, Melchizedek, blessing of Abraham. God makes a covenant with Abraham, promising countless descendants and promises. So here's number three, Genesis chapter 15. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Now, this is the first one that is identified as a covenant. The other ones are just blessings and promises, but it's the same concept. To your descendants, I have given this land. Notice this, descendants, so a people group, a nation, land. I've given you this land from the river of Egypt, as far as the great river of the Euphrates, which is huge. I mean, that Israel is not even a tenth of that. To the Kenite, the Kenazites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the and I'm horrible at these names, Amorites, and the Kenites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So he's saying, I've given you all this land. Now, you may not agree with God, that God had the permission to give the land, to entrust the land to Abraham, to say it's Israel's land, you know, that kind of thing. But last time I checked, you're not God. So it's not like you have a choice. It's just that that is God's choosing. He is sovereign. He gets to do that. And he chose Abraham to do it. So we have the birth of Ishmael through Hagar after Sarah's suggestion in Genesis chapter 16. So Abraham tried to take things into his own hands and do it his own way. And then we have God appears to Abram, renames him Abraham, Genesis chapter 17, and the covenant sign of circumcision, and reiterates the promise to Sarah. So God said further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. So circumcision, accompanied especially with faith, is a sign of the covenant of Abraham. You may not like that. I know many people are circumcised who don't believe in Jesus. I get it. It's not your choice. This is what God has to say. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. But God said, no. But Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. So do you see that? It's an everlasting covenant, okay? And this is why I'm going over this, because there's so many people who do not know these scriptures. First off, it's a covenant forever. First off, it's a huge set of land from Egypt, all the way there, all the way to the Euphrates, from the Nile to the Euphrates. And it's just a huge swath of land, and God had promised it to Israel. So Isaac is born in Genesis chapter 21. Hagar and Ishmael sent away in Genesis chapter 21. Abraham makes a covenant with Abimelech, asserting rights to wells in Genesis chapter 21. God tells Abraham by commanding him to sacrifice Isaac, then confirms his covenant by oath over after Abraham's obedience, Genesis chapter 22. Then we have the death and burial of Sarah. Abraham purchases land in Canaan, fulfilling a piece of the promise in Genesis chapter 23. Abraham arranges marriage for Isaac in Genesis chapter 24. And then Abraham dies in Genesis chapter 25. So I hope as we go through this series on Abraham that this will be at the forefront of your mind and your heart, because you kind of have to know these pieces of information. 3 to 4 times, God reminds and or introduces his covenant to Abraham. 3 to 4 times, he says it's an everlasting covenant, and that it is a covenant of both people and land. And so think about that for a moment. So now we're going to go to Romans, where we are in chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? Remember I just read all that stuff? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. So this portion of scripture, what we're focusing in on verse 1 here, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefathers, according to the flesh, found? What did he find? Think about that. We just read a whole bunch that God is giving an everlasting covenant. It wasn't based upon his own abilities or his own self-righteousness, but it was based upon God's word, and that he believed God. That's what Abraham did. He just simply believed God and took God at his word. And that's what was credited to him as righteous. That's why we say, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And we know that it's that simple. It's simply believing God at his word. So God's word says we're sinners. God's word says that we need a savior. God's word says that Jesus is that savior. It's that simple. And we know that this gospel message was preached beforehand to Abraham. We know it. And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. So we're going to have a deep dive into Abraham's life. We're going to look at New Testament, Old Testament scriptures about Abraham. And I just encourage you, keep coming back each and every day, because it is going to build on each other. It's going to be a blessing, I believe, to you, to your family. We want you to grow in the Word of God, because we know this. If our heart changes, the public square changes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And God, we thank you for Abraham. God, we're thankful that you promised land to Abraham, a covenant that is everlasting and forever, that you have been so faithful to Abraham. Therefore, God, you are going to be faithful to us. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We believe you, God, that we're sinners that need a savior, and that Jesus is that savior. We believe you, God. We confess Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, so we are saved. Lord, bring in our path people who need that same message. Sinner, we need a savior. Jesus is the savior. Bring it back into our hearts, God. Moment by moment today as we walk in the public square, let us have boldness, courage. Let us walk in the very things that you've called us to walk in. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.